Good evening, everyone. It is fantastic to see you here on the Hugh Hattrick Show with a very special guest indeed. It is Sparks Theory. Welcome to the show.
I would say broccoli is very important for the day.
You know, children. Noodles and broccoli, a great combination.
I cooked it myself just now.
You've got a bit of carbs and then no carbs. That's pretty good going, isn't it? Wee bit of carbs and the noodles.
I think no carbs, carbs have rough justice, actually. Carbs are good for you. Eat your carbs.
It's fantastic. We've got lots of people in the chat already. We've got Gamer Podium. We've got Malty. We've got Chicharito. I think that is Chicharito in there. And we've got Ed Mosleson. It's Peruvian. That's a great name. So it's great to see you all. Welcome to the Hugh Hattrick Show. And we've been trying to get Sparks for a wee while in terms of everyone's been saying, you've got to get Sparks Theory on your show. So I tracked him down on YouTube. And there I was watching his streams. And I thought, this is fantastic. I love all the way that you have all these explosions and funny hairstyles and bananas and all sorts of things that happen. On a side note, how did you manage to get all these amazing effects for your streams?
Well, I shall tell you. Firstly, I'm immature, so I wanted to add something silly to the stream, because before I started streaming, you know, I spent years and years watching people like Key, Super GT, Jimmy, Rory, you know, all the big boys, and I thought that's great, isn't it? But you know, it's just racing. It's just racing. I think for me, streaming is a bit more of a show. I think you've got to add a little bit more to it. So I thought, well, let's do that. Let's get a PC. Let's get OBS all set up.
Yeah.
And then I can use a program called StreamerBot. Now, StreamerBot plugs into YouTube and OBS. And using StreamerBot, you can set up point systems. You can set up filters, basically, a little bit like Instagram or Snapchat. It uses the same sort of thing. And excuse me, I'm just burping prawns. Pardon me. I'll just wash that down. And then you link skill juice, very important. You link that through StreamerBot, you link that through all your OBS, you add it to a point system, and Bob's your uncle. It works.
I'll have to try that.
But basically, it's a combination of, I'm quite techie, so I've got like a technical background. As well as a creative background, but I'm quite techie and immature. So those combinations work really well.
But no, it does add so much to it, because when you log in and you start watching, and then it says you're going to get, what is it, 15 points or something for every minute that you're on there. It's good. So it does encourage people to stay longer, and then they can ask you to
Rob, get off me. No, it's fine. We chatted about it. It's a good idea because it creates engagement, you know, and it's
it's another reason
for people to stick around, because it's just a nice thing. And I personally like trying to empathize with chat. Like when I'm in a chat, I want to, like, it's fun always to engage with a streamer and to watch his races and to feel the emotions that they're all going through. But I also want something else, you know, I want something to do while I'm in chat, as well as the banter that's great in the chat as well.
It's taking it forward, because I always think, what will YouTube do next for streamers? You know, when you think, what will it be in 10 years' time? Will you be actually able to see the people that are watching you in the chat actually on your screen? Cool. You can have a little box at the bottom, almost like a Zoom call.
It's funny, I've thought about that. That would be quite an interesting thing.
I
know a way to get their avatars or their, you know, their logos in the chat, on the stream.
Yeah.
But I'm close to hacking all their cameras. Right. And pulling up what they're doing live on stream. That would be absolutely
when they're live in their pajamas watching and giving you grief.
there'd be Arkies sitting on the toilet like, oh my goodness.
Arkies has just joined us.
Has he?
And so has SDS and Tatui as well. Oh, and Erratic.
Very nice to see you.
There are many, many, many in the comments already, which is fantastic. Now, what we'll do is we'll get their questions coming in a few minutes' time, and then I'll be able to put them on the screen so we can see what's happening. Because I think there's going to be a lot of stuff happening in the comments. It'll start moving quite quickly. Which is great. So we'll ask you the question that I always ask every one of my guests. It is, how did you get started in gaming? When did you get started? And
how did I get started in gaming? Gaming as a whole or sim racing or both? Let's go both.
Yeah, both. Yeah.
Well, you know I'm old. So we're going back. We're going back to the 70s here.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Let me see. When I was a boy. 1979. It was. Atari 2600 was my first gaming system in 1979. Wow. I think it was 79. It might have been 1980. I might be pushing it a bit far. Playing Pong and tanks with my dad. Obviously hooked. And all it was, a pixel was about that big, right?
Yeah.
And the next pixel was that big. And that was your tank. And that was dad's tank. And you shot another pixel. It was absolute. I'm sure a few of the boys and girls in chat will know that game.
I remember doing table tennis on a BBC B. A BBC B computer. Yeah, we had that was our first one. That would be about 83, 84, I think, when we got ours.
Around the BBC Micro we had at school.
Yeah. And it literally just went up and down, and that was about it.
Yeah.
But the games did evolve fairly quickly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And then it was Commodore. I went through the Commodore.
Oh, yeah. The 64. Yeah,
the 64 and the new Amiga. And then one day I found this game called Revs, right?
Oh, yeah. I heard of Revs.
I think it was originally on the BBC Micro. And all it had was Silverstone.
Yeah.
Obviously, an older version of Silverstone. And it was so terrible. Now I look at it now. It was just and just pixels. And you could just about make out where the corner. That was my hook anyway. Just about make where the corners were. There was no steering wheel. There was a tiny little line like this that moved at 3 frames per second. And that was my hook on sim racing.
Yeah. Right. I remember those early racing games because they all had them. I'm not sure if it was on a Spectrum because we had a BBC, but my mates had a Spectrum and one of my friends had a Commodore. But some of the racing games, like the early ones I remember, was just like it was just a tiny little bit of black, which was the track and a wee white line. And then there was nothing around it. That was supposed to be the grass. And then you had a corner. And as soon as you came to a corner, the car would just skid off.
That sounds like an early version of Pole Position, I think.
Yes. Yeah. That would have been it.
And they never got the angle of the cars right. So if you're turning this way, right? So the car you'd think would do that, but the car always sort of went like some other direction. Like you knew what was going on.
Yeah. Oh, it's quite funny. I mean, because we had the BBC and then we had an Acorn A3000 when I was in school. So we had a game called Saloon Cars. And it was kind of like touring cars, but I had a green monitor. My parents refused to pay for a color one. So I had to get a green monitor. Black and white was, I managed not to have black and white. That was a slight upgrade from that, but not to a full color one. And it was brilliant because
full
you had all these
16 colors.
Yeah, but it was the thing.
I'm just going to have some Monge too.
Oh, right.
Carry on.
Now, somebody did say, please don't slip on the live stream. So it was the one you can't not slurp noodles.
Slip.
First time we've ever had a death on an interview, you know.
Yeah, cheap stools.
All right. But that's the thing. And it was great because you had a Vauxhall Astra GTE. That was like the first challenge that you had to drive. And you had to do well so you'd get more credits and then you could get better tires, it was quite funny. You started off with Bill Bustett, the mechanic. That was your thing. Yeah, it was fantastic. And then you had the cheap tires were like they were called fatal slip tires on it. So it was the one. And if you crashed, if you went head on into a barrier, which you did because it understeered like crazy, and this Astra once you'd done it up. It would just go, you'd hear a kind of bop sound, and then it would just come up saying, "You are dead." That was it. It was the helmet
like
hitting
the
steering wheel.
Racing game.
It was brilliant. So, what did you do in the 90s then? How did your games in the 90s?
Oh, 90s. I was in the pub.
All right.
In the pub in the 90s. Obviously, I still thought about video games in my stupor of a hangover. No, I was. The 90s was about the Nintendo systems and.
Yeah.
I think I was on the Amiga, using the Commodore Amiga, playing a lot of simulation games, like some of the Microprose games, like Gunship and F-19 Stealth Fighter. So I was really, really into flight sims.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're good, actually. They're fun.
And I'm trying to think what racing games in the 90s I played, apart from, obviously, Gran Turismo.
when it came out. Yeah, was it 96, 97?
Yeah, something like that.
97, then, wasn't it?
I can't remember the exact date. And I'm not going to even guess because I get someone in the chat going, 1995, even. Yeah, no, I didn't actually have Gran Turismo, so I used to walk for an hour to a friend's house who did have it.
Yeah.
Just so we could play all day and drink beer. You know, on the controller, on the D-pad. This is how we did it, right? You remember?
Yeah. Just
there was none of this wibbly sticky things. They didn't turn up to like the PS2. This is PlayStation 1.
I just noticed there, you've got some of your, you're wearing some of your merchandise. Your Spark series. No, I actually was going to try and buy a cup, but it wasn't going to get here in time. I was going to buy a cup that had your Spark series thing in it so I could show it to you, but it wouldn't quite get here on time. But I will get one, though. I will get one.
I'll get it sometimes. I don't know why, but yeah. I'm wearing it because it's comfortable, not because I'm, you know, a shill.
I might have to put it. Well, I'm going to have to change my video and say it's had a paid promotion now in there.
Sorry about that. Oh, I've got one more bit of broccoli left.
There you go. So then, so you've been playing Gran Turismo from 97 onwards.
Yep.
How did it go from there? What was your next step?
Let's see. Back to the pub. Then I started getting jobs. So, and then moved out of the house. And I think I dropped the whole racing and gaming thing for ages because I found myself a girlfriend. Who was not into any of that stuff. And she was a lot older than I was. It's okay, my wife's gone upstairs. She didn't. And she was Spanish as well, so she was very, very kind of... Yeah, so I was under control. I was very much under control in those days. And anyway, that ended after about 7 years. And then from 2003, 2004, I was absolutely back on anything I could get to racing. Usually in the arcades, you know? Chase HQ or Outrun, all those kind of things. Anything I could find to racing. Because trying to think back, it's a long time ago. So was it 20 years ago? I must have had PlayStation 2, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I was kind of playing things like Pro Evolution Soccer.
Yeah.
You know, and Street Fighter, all those kind of things. And let me tell you, I was damn good at both of them. Sim racing really didn't kick off for me till GT Sport.
Yeah,
that was the main event, and I'm pretty sure I speak for a lot of people watching as well. Yeah. GT Sport was it, because it introduced Gran Turismo with a penalty system, which was never seen before.
Yeah, right?
And online racing and FIA licenses, which never really showed up anyway. But that was one of the marketing points of GT Sport, was you get an FIA license.
Yeah,
oh, one of those. And, you know, the draw was amazing. It was just such a good game for a tenner.
Yeah.
You know, 10 quid that game. The best tenner I've ever spent in my entire life was Gran Turismo Sport. I must have had 5,000 hours of trying to work that out. £10 for 5,000 hours. I mean, it's good value.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was. You're absolutely right. When it came out, I remember thinking, oh, yeah. So I got a copy quite early on. And I was quite nervous on my first ever multi-sport, you know, multiplayer game, because it was quite a big thing. You know, you watch the guys do it and stream it on YouTube, and they seem so relaxed and easygoing. And then when you're actually there, and that was just on a controller for your first ever multiplayer race,
you realize that they're really good and we're crap.
Yeah. And then it was like, and you don't set a qualifying time, and you see them drive away. You know, and it was, if you're lucky,
something wrong with this. So I know what it is. I need to spend £1,000 on a wheel. That's what it is. So then, of course, you spend, I don't know, I think I spent 250 quid on a G29 and all the pedals. And then that arrived. And I was like, right, now I'm rocking. Now I'm competing. And of course, I know where to put it, right? Because all I had was I had my PlayStation and a telly in the lounge. It was nothing. I was like, well, oh, you have to nail this down. So... Over to my right is a trip trap chair, right? And it's what the kids sit in to eat their dinner. Right here, I'm going to pick it up and show you. Right, I'll just stay there. Stay there.
Yep, I'll stay right here.
Right here is my first rig. This is my first rig, right?
That's pretty good.
The wheel went in there, and then the pedals were wedged under this. And that was it.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I think I've got a similar one actually to that. I got one from my son and built it.
Actually, those chairs are more expensive than some rigs.
I got one of those £50 stands, which is quite similar, and it holds the pedals. And it's actually really good. As long as you put it next to something that won't move, then it's actually really good. And you put the wheel on top. It's quite decent.
It's a bit wibbly wobbly, but that's kind of true to life, though, isn't it? So
yeah, if you put a lot of pressure on it. But to be fair, my son uses my old G29, and it actually works quite well. The way that we've got it and that, so it's a little bit far away from the screen, but it's amazing what you can do with it. So when did you actually get a rig then? Is a rig something that you found quite recently?
So yeah, I bought the Playseat Challenge when we moved into this house. So that would have been 2018. So 2018 was the first time I got a rig. And it was a Playseat Challenge. I don't even know the Playseat Challenge.
Yeah, I am sitting on
one. Oh, yes, you are!
I am sitting on one. 7 years old, this one.
Because it's Velcroed, isn't it, around the side? Right? And obviously, I never really did the Velcro up properly. And I remember sitting there once, right? And I'll tell you what, I'm going to raise the stool up to show you how this works. Okay. Right? And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, it was just like... just disappeared down, and then the wheels up here. So I need to get a new
one. It's really low, isn't it? Yeah. Well, I built this in my lunch break, in a 25-minute lunch break, probably minus most of the crucial Velcro settings that you needed. So just so I could get it playing, just so I could have a go. But yeah, it is, you do sit quite low in it. But but I noticed that it's the same with Key did a stream today, and he's got the new GD Pro, but I think he's adjusted his seat as well, and he's sitting really low in that, almost lower than I
sit. I think he likes to sit quite low anyway.
Yeah,
As time goes on, he's getting smaller and smaller in that camera. Actually, either he's getting lower or he's drinking or something. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Well, they do say that you get smaller as you get older, but I think
he's not old. I mean. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell because he's only worth about 4 pixels on that screen, so it is tough to tell. But then I got the GT Omega Art.
That's a nice one.
So I'm still using now.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the mid-range GT Omega. Yeah. And it's fine. Like, it's absolutely fine. It's so good.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at now. Using a TV, a couple of monitors, Stream Deck, PC.
I know it because I just did a video today on the race guide and I realized that my sound, I did play it through and on everything that didn't have a car going around the track, the sound was fine. But as soon as I put the cars on the track and I thought it was all right, but the noise had drowned out my voice.
Yeah, it's difficult to get that right. And it's one of the things I've always sort of wrestled with streaming is the sound of your voice versus the engine of a car, especially because all the cars do sound different. And if you change view, for example, a good one is that Mercedes GT320.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In bumper view, it's quite a sort of, it's a good sound, but it's sort of not that noticeable. But if you go into like hood view, suddenly it's. So it's one of the reasons why I don't use that view is because I start fiddling with the volumes because it changes.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to work out how to. Sometimes you just go into audio settings, but on I'm not sure if that's on OBS or something else, or whether I need to turn it down on PlayStation side as well. I'm not sure.
But I would try and keep it all within OBS.
Yeah, I think that's probably the easiest way to do it. Yeah. So how? Because obviously you've done GT Sport since 2017, and now you do GT7. Why do you like it? Let's ask you a basic question. Why do you like
it? You sound like my wife, Hugh.
Why do
I like it? Because it is life. Sim racing is life. Why do I like it? It's the adrenaline. And also, I'll tell you what, when GT Sport first came out, I was quite good at it, right? I wasn't alien, but I was quite good and good enough to be in a team. So I joined the VLX esports team. They're now Distinct, I think. So that was like, wow, maybe I am good. And I genuinely believed, and I know I'm not alone here, right? Own up. I genuinely believed that I could qualify for the World Tour. I did.
Yeah. Right?
Obviously, ambition. Me being a B driver at the time was a problem, right? But I knew it was there, and I used to dream it. I used to think it. I used to run through tracks in my head. I used to go on like out to dinner with friends and you know, when they go to the toilet, I'd sit there thinking about turn three. You know.
It shows you what the conversation must have been like then, you know.
I was half there, and I'm just thinking about tomorrow's FIA race. I'm going to change tires in lap 8, or am I going to?
I don't know.
I took it so seriously, and it got to a point where I think I have to step back because I'm not actually good enough. So I need to step back from this mental torture, thinking that I'm that good, and just to start enjoying it, you know, start playing with it. And that's where the streaming came in, really. It's just like, listen, I've got some good speed. I'm not slow. But if I can use that with a little bit of silliness and entertainment, that's good. Let's go with that.
Yeah. And as you say, you get faster. And I think the more practice you get, especially I've noticed that on Gran Turismo 7, you really have to play it to get into it and to kind of learn the secrets of how to drive it faster.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just go a bit faster thinking, oh, how did that happen exactly? Or how did I get more grip coming out of that thing? And even like driving lines, because I have an issue of turning in a wee bit early, and then that can cause problems when you exit the corners and stuff. So, but it's good fun. That's why I love the time trial. That's one of my favorite things is doing the time trial. In fact, last Thursday's one was really good, and I thought it's doing well. I thought it was a 1:19.067 was quite good. And I'm very competitive with Arky, although he doesn't worry about me. He doesn't worry about me.
Arky's is a time trial monster as well.
Yeah, it is. And I thought that time, he's not going to beat that time. That's going to be a good time. And he comes out with a 1:18.6, just like that.
And actually, of late, I've noticed Arky's has been quite quick.
Yeah, fast.
A couple of people knocking around in the community, actually. One of them is Susie and Arky's. They've been finding some tremendous pace recently. I mean, stand down, people. Good grief.
I'm pleased when Arky says he's going on holidays. I think, great, I can beat him for a week. I might have a chance, and then he still beats me.
Yeah,
and he's playing from Jews, but it must be through the PlayStation app or something. You know, it's great fun. And that's what I like the time trial, because you can have a good go in it, and some of the combinations are really fun. Then actually, I enjoy doing that stream. And especially last week's one was great fun. I hate the one we had, that Genesis, a few weeks ago at Monza. Oh, it was a horrible car to drive. One of the worst ones I ever did. But all the other ones have been pretty good. So what is your favorite part of GT7? What is the thing that kind of, and obviously you like doing some of the online races, and you mentioned you like doing, or you're thinking about doing Nations Cup or the Manufacturers Cup. Mm. But is there a particular combination that's your favorite?
Combination. Mm. And the group four, I'm a group four charlatan, I think. Especially the four-wheel drive ones. Whatever's easiest, basically. So I think this is going to be controversial, okay? Lego Maggiore, right? Group four, four-wheel drive. I love it. I don't know why. It's because I'm good at that one. I like that one.
It is a nice circuit when you get it right. I mean, it's quite long and it's got lots of challenging corners.
Yeah.
And the amount of curbs you can take is colossal, isn't it?
You can literally cut across the other side of the track almost.
I think SDS, he's just unsubscribed with a laugh out there.
SDS says that a lot. He's probably unsubscribed from most of YouTube over the last month.
I know that.
We love you, SDS.
So four-wheel drive cars in group four. So you've got the Subaru Impreza.
Yeah.
You've got the Mitsubishi Lancer.
Yeah. You've got the Genesis as well.
Yeah. Or is that four-wheel drive?
I think it is. Yeah. I believe it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And that Susie Q has says when group three cars are too fast for you.
Susie said that. Yeah. Susie.
Oh, you need a comeback for that.
Susie can say that now. She's earned it.
Yeah, she's very, very quick.
Yeah, she's absolutely.
I've sometimes been ahead of her by a fraction.
Really?
Some lines of Road A car.
Yeah, get nearer.
But Alpha 155 as well. Alpha 155.
Oh yeah, the Alpha, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, what would you like to see in GT7 in terms of cars wise? If you could say, right, these are the cars for the next update, because we are getting an update quite soon. But let's say they came to you and said, right, Sparks, what would you like to have the next group of cars coming into Gran Turismo 7?
There's a question. The thing is, I don't care. That's the thing. it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't bother me. I don't care what they bring. Like, for example, what have we got? The the Renault 4 coming.
Yeah,
right?
That's actually quite an interesting
fantastic.
One. Yeah.
Fantastic. I think you need to remember, like, Gran Turismo at roots is not race cars, right? It's cars.
Yeah.
So I think I'd like to see, based on that, I'd like to see a Renault 5.
Yes. Do they not have a Renault 5?
I don't think there's a Renault 5.
Maybe not.
No, I don't remember seeing Renault 5. The Renault 5
was that an old one? GT
Sport, it was. I had one of those as well after my Renault 4.
Oh, yeah. Now, they had a very strange gear stick in the Renault 4, didn't they? It was kind of like the Citroën 2CV. It was a kind of, the gear stick was on the dash, and you had to kind of pull.
Yes, that's the Renault 4.
Kind of thing, wasn't it? Yeah, that was quite a thing. And they were quite popular in Britain. A lot of people had them. Yeah, and they were cheap as chips. They were literally about $3,000 or $4,000 new. They were were not expensive.
And my mum bought it for me for about 650 quid. That was the best thing ever.
And they are quite a machine. So I was having this, I put it on Twitter with Arkies, because he was talking about the Renault 4 coming, and I say all we need now are lots of other, other bad cars of the 80s and the 90s, and I think we should have a communist car selection. I think that would be hilarious.
I noticed you tweet that the other day.
I think it would be FSO, Polonaise, Lada Riva, Samara, the Yugo 45, a Skoda SD,
all right,
they were kind of slightly better. I think it would be hilarious, because and then you can have a time trial. With you have to choose,
communist time trial.
And the communist car's time trial, like what they did on Top Gear years ago.
Comrades are us.
It would be quite funny. Especially, I think, if you had to do, or you could have a race A, and the top five cars are like the Polonaise, the Riva, the Yugo 45.
So you're onto something here, Hugh.
I think that would be quite funny.
Like a separate political daily race, right?
Yeah.
One based around a war. Or some kind of event, right? Like, for example, I don't know, the Second World War, when they're all driving around in Beetles and things like that, the old Beetles. So they had the Second World War race, and then they've got the Industrial Revolution, where we're in horses and cars.
Steam engine car with a steam part. Now, Woody Boy has said very correctly, we had Range Rovers. We had a car called the Range Stormer. Mm. It was the Range Stormer, and that was the predecessor, I think, to it. Well, not so much the Evoque, but to the Range Rover Sport.
Yeah.
That was because they couldn't afford to make a three-door, so they made the five-door. We did. And that was a great car. It had like a V10 or a V12 engine, I think. It was quite a decent one. Now, Arkies has mentioned we'd have to have a Trabant. You'd have to have a Trabant. But they'd have to have BOP on that, because they were even there. I mean, there's bad cars, then there's a Trabant.
The Gran Turismo is BOP.
The FSO might get to 60 in 30 seconds, but the Trabant would be probably a minute. So it would be, they'd have to do something with that, or give it nitrous. But to be fair, I think that would be quite fun. Or just really bad cars, just because they are bad cars. So I think, you could put
everyone likes a bad car, especially Arkies.
Yeah, and if it was new, it'd be a Vauxhall Mokka.
Is the Fiat Multipla in the game?
They may have had a Fiat Multipla. I think they could have had.
It might be.
Yeah.
I think that's officially the worst looking car ever developed in the universe.
It's
probably in the game.
I don't know anyone who's had a good experience with one.
In a Multipla.
You know, in terms of...
It's not even a nice word, is it?
No. A great idea. Honda came along and made another version, and it did quite well. But Fiat's one was quite unreliable, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That was the thing. But it was quite a... So you're not too concerned about new cars coming into it. As long as it's... Yeah. I think we've had enough VGTs, though. It would be nice to get normal cars.
Absolutely, in my eyes, pointless. I don't know why, it's a little bit of sort of polyphony narcissism, really, isn't it?
Because they're kind of chumming up to all the manufacturers.
Yeah, look at what we can come up with for you.
Awful Genesis,
Disgusting. But I don't think many people care about the VGT stuff.
No,
really. I mean, they look great, but there's no history. There's no.
See, I would love it if they also had like touring cars from the 90s. So you've got your Primeras, your Volvo Estates, V70 Estate.
That's for me, that's the heart of Gran Turismo. That would be
amazing. Yeah. I think that kind of thing also, like, what else did they have? Vauxhall Cavalier. They'd have to have one of those, like Cleland's Cavalier.
Vauxhall Cavalier just reminds me of the local cab office.
Yeah. that would be something. And I mean, they had so many. They had the BMW M3 that won in 92. Yeah, I mean, there's so many great cars. The Alfa 155.
Yeah.
With Gabriele Tarquini. I remember watching him at Knockhill when he had a massive barrel roll crash at the first turns.
I watched that about 20,000 times.
Yeah, I mean, it really went over and over and the doors came flying off, but he was perfectly fine and walked away. Amazing. I just remember that it was the kind of Murray Walker's voice saying, "My goodness, he's barrel rolled it."
This is the first time you see it, you're like, ooh!
Yeah. Well, we saw the car being taken away behind us. Yeah,
it's all good. Let's rewatch it. It's amazing. And he's going to live. It's okay. We know it survives.
Yeah, well, the Honda Accord. Bembo Baggins says the Honda Accord. That would be a good one. Yeah, yeah, they were good. They were great in the touring cars. Actually, they were a good road car. Actually, that version of Honda Accord was a great car.
Really,
it was fun.
Shut up, Bembo.
So, as you're a bit of, I can see the sense is a bit of a car enthusiast there in you. What are your kind of favorite cars to drive? Or do you have are you currently driving something rather nice?
Yeah, everyone's going to hate me now and unsubscribe because I drive a Tesla.
You got a Tesla? Yeah. Ah, no, that's it. Well, I mean, it makes sense if you live you've got a charger and you can, and you don't do big miles.
That I have no idea what gears are or an engine or oil.
Although everything's connected to your phone, isn't it? So you don't even open the thing.
It's just drive.
And you feel like you're on the floor when you drive it, isn't it? It's just like you're so low in these cars or something.
Well, that's Model Y, so actually it's quite high.
You're the big one.
It's like a crossover, really. So it's kind of like it's an off-roader in a way. It's clever, but...
Yeah. Now, Susie's come up with a great idea. The BMW 635 CSI and the 2002. Now, that was a cult car. In fact, now you can only find them really as barn finds. I don't think...
Oh, the 635, yeah.
Yeah, they were good. Everyone's
showing their age.
Now, Neil from Not That Quicker says, Tesla, didn't know Hugh's channel contains swearing. But it was...
Who said that? Let me pull the chat up. Hang on.
Not That Quick. I can call that, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because there's a... Neil, there's another Neil who does actually drive a Tesla. He's a very nice person.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? So Sparks is more a Mazda 3 fan. Well, to be fair, the new Mazda 3 is a great looking car. Obviously it's the kind of the OP car of Group 4.
Who said that? Dutchie.
Yeah.
Can't stand the damn car. My favorite car, my favorite car in the game right now is the McLaren 650S.
Yeah, that seems popular. That seems very popular. Yeah. And it handles well, isn't it? Doesn't have the maybe the outright speed.
Looks good.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, SDS has asked, we'll go to SDS for the first question from the audience here. Did you ever do any real-life racing?
Only go-karting. No. To be fair, I do have my... I did do my ARDS test, right?
All right.
The racing driver license.
My mate Jonathan's got that.
That was kind of just for a vanity thing, really, right?
My mate did it alongside Kevin Magnussen.
Really?
Yeah, there were two groups, and Kevin Magnussen was in the other group. But I went down to watch it at Silverstone.
Yeah.
And so I met both Kevin and his father, who was still smoking a cigarette while he was watching his son race away.
Good grief.
Yeah.
And you got to drive really the Caterhams, right? Doing all the drifting and the
he did
donuts and the Caterhams and all that sort of stuff. And then they had the skid map.
Yeah.
So much fun. My sister does. She's a race. She does racing. She does the Formula Jedis.
Oh wow!
Thousands.
Yeah. Well, my mate did a race. He did two races at the end on the Saturday on the national. The small circuit that they have it kind of inside everything else.
Yeah.
And he finished third in his first one. And he qualified third, finished third, and then he was fifth in the second one. He came from 11th to fifth.
Very good.
So he did well. Yeah,
more than Woody would do, isn't it?
But it was great fun though. It was quite a thing. And now Chicharito, I said, Sparks, have you ever been to Madagascar?
No. But one day I'm going to come and visit you, Chich. I know where you live in Madagascar, mate.
That sounds lovely. I bet it's a lot warmer over there.
On the left, past the coconut one, with the lemurs and about 20 yards from the beach. Coming to see you, Chich, mate.
That does sound nice. It's 2 degrees, it's telling me here, in the northeast of England. So it's very warm. But so that's the thing. So are there any other games other than GT7, Sparks, that take your fancy? Any other things that you quite like to play?
You know, yes, lots of them. Chess. I love chess. Chess is a masterful game. Takes a brain. You know, Bembo wouldn't get it. Woody wouldn't get it. Dutchie probably wouldn't get it. Chitch probably wouldn't get it. Joker boys. But yeah, no. I've been playing Call of Duty. Love Call of Duty. Battlefield. Like a shooter. Yeah. It kind of, sometimes after a stream, I'll just switch it on just to unwind a little bit.
Yeah.
Just to sit in silence. You know, just shut up for half an hour and just shoot some kids. It's the best.
You heard it here first. You know. I was going to say, we can't go to commercial break on here. You know, so that's the one.
In the game, of course. In the sentence. There we go.
Well, you see, I love Grand Theft Auto. You see, and I've had all of them. I actually got my PS4 with the box that came with Grand Theft Auto 5 when they launched it. And I loved it. But yeah, so when the new one comes out next year, I can't wait. So yeah. I'm looking forward
to
that.
If it comes out next year.
Well, they say March 25 on the trailer.
Yeah.
So hopefully.
I reckon it'll be more like October. But that's just me being...
Yeah, I hope it's not too far away. Now, we've got a question here from Multi71.
Multi's a legend!
Sorry. Is your goal to focus on your channel full time?
I'm taking each day as it comes, mate. Right now, no, it's a hobby. So the dilemma is this, I think, because I work full time. So obviously there's only a certain amount of time I can put into the channel because of work, right? Mm-hmm. So in effect, that hurts the channel. It could be better.
Yeah.
If I wasn't working full time. So there may come a point in the future where it becomes, you know, I think this route's better for me, i.e. Mm-hmm. YouTube. So maybe it's not a goal though, but it's something that may happen in the future and I'll head down that route. But if it does, it'll be awesome.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, still be awesome.
Well, I mean, in a year, to have 10,000 subscriptions or subscribers is brilliant. I mean, that's a fantastic,
amazing.
Be able to do that, and also, you know, you've done the watch hours, you've monetized, you've done the whole thing there. I mean, that's it's well deserved. I mean, that takes a lot to do. So many congratulations.
Yeah, I think I've been a bit lucky. On that.
I don't know. I think you've obviously got people like watching you. I mean, I was watching last night, and you had over 100 watching live.
Yeah, at one point, which that's is fantastic. Me,
yeah, so, that's really good.
So many times I've come out of like the studio upstairs and I come down to my wife and we have a cup of tea and she'll say, how was your stream? And I was like, it was really good, actually. It was really good. 97 people. And that went on for about 2 months and I just couldn't hit the 100. But yeah, yesterday we hit 100 and I was over the moon with it. It was amazing.
That's great.
Yeah.
That means the ad revenue will be pouring in from there.
You think it's not actually. Yeah. It's like, ooh. £6.50.
Now, SDS has given a very interesting remark here. He said, you need to try RDR2 as well if you like GTA. I've not heard of that.
Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, Red Dead Redemption 2. I have played that. I have completed it, mate. It is a great game. Absolutely fantastic game. Yeah, it's so good. You could just get totally immersed into that.
Yeah, I played it the first time and I was like, man, that was really good. And I was like, God knows how many hours I put into it, a crap ton, right? And then about 2 years later, I was like, you know, I really fancy being a cowboy again.
Yeah,
and I dived in again and enjoyed it even more the second time.
Yeah, riding through the horses and taking out the baddies. Yeah. And it's just so good. It's great fun. And the chases you can have.
I'm actually going to play it again now. I'm going to uninstall Call of Duty and put Red Dead back on. What a game. I actually queued up with a mate from work in Soho when it came out outside Game to get it on release day.
Wow.
Because Red Dead was so good. And we all know Rockstar come out with absolute masterpieces every time.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm getting this game. I'm not missing a day on this. Let's go.
Yeah. And then they don't see you for a few days. That's the thing. That's like,
so that
yeah, that's the only problem is you can't stream it.
No.
I know, that's the thing. Now, I saw Dutchie commenting, saying that guns in GT7 would be fun. I think especially for those rammers that always try and take you out on the sound.
Yeah, gun in GT7. You can always pretend. I can always stick an animation in a stream for it.
Could you do a hack and see if it'll work?
Just use it, right? As you pull up alongside and you switch your view to your left or your right-hand view, right? And then you just have like... It's not real, it's fine, but quite satisfying, I reckon. We should do that. Thanks, Dutchie.
We need that for Race A, I think. Race A, definitely. Yeah. Especially if you're in your FSO Polonaise or whatever it might be. The one versus a ladder Riva. That would be the one to do it in. But now let's get some questions from the chat. So what to do, make sure you can write it in capital letters. It just means it's easier for me to see that it's a question.
Oh, and we will put those questions loud, is it?
Yes. So we're allowed capitals. And so it means I can spot the questions even quicker. So as soon as the comments come in, we'll be asking more questions there from all the viewers in the chat. So what would you like to see in GT7 as it evolves? What would be where do you think it's going to go over the next year or two?
I think they're at kind of like a point now, GT7, where either it's going to go downhill, right? Because people are getting a little fed up with a lot of the dailies. And I know the daily races are a small portion of players, but how much is there in this game to keep you going when it's not online? Right. And I know that you can invent races and lobbies.
You can do menus like things. Yeah.
You can do your menus, but that's you could do those in a few days and you're done. Right. Yeah. You can do these races over and over again with AI. I think it's come to a point where GT7 offline and online were like this. Right.
Yeah.
And over time, people switch to online in a game because that's where the replayability is. Yeah. But at the moment, I don't think there's that much replayability in GT7 because the dailies are kind of static.
Yeah,
they have one or two good ones. Suzuka 2 weeks ago was phenomenal. And that's the direction they need to. They need to focus on online, I think, on the dailies to make sure that GT7 stays strong all the way through to GT8. Because I think it's going to decline a little bit unless they, realize that, that's where they're... player place is going to end up on the dailies.
I think a lot of people
have the GT World Series stuff, spending God knows how much money on these events. Those GT World Series events are based on the daily races because that's where you get your DR. Yet they don't put that much thought into those, it seems. So I think they need to put more into that, and I think it will be back where it should be.
I think because I know a lot of the streamers liked the longer races, that and Suzuka kind of summed that up completely. Because I quite like short ones, but also medium ones as well. But I'll do some of the race C's too. But I think it seemed to be a real kind of, people really loved it. I mean, 20 laps at Suzuka, or a proper race that was 40 minutes and worked pretty well.
Even and if it was still at Suzuka, it was still too. They need to get 20 cars in at least as well, right? Or 24.
Yeah.
Because people were quitting that one. Because it's like, I can't be doing 40 minutes round at the back.
So you've got a bit more in there. Now we've got a very good question here from Neil from Not That Quick. He says, where are we here? How do you deal with the trolls? Or you might not have any, but perhaps, how do you deal with trolls?
I've had one or two. I don't respond to those people. Actually, that's not true. I did get a troll writing some nonsense in the comments not that long ago. And I rose to the bait. I was like, that feels unfair. What are you talking? And then I carried on this conversation.
Yeah.
And then I realized that you can't have a conversation with a troll. Because that's what they want. They want you to respond, get annoyed, and then that's it. They've won. So the best thing to do right now is just... laugh, delete, bye.
Yeah, because that's it. There's no point giving them any attention.
No.
Yeah, no, that's a definite thing.
All they are is, they're yelling the loudest.
That's yeah, and trying to annoy you, yeah, or trying to insult you, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. that's the thing, trying to put you off your racing.
They don't necessarily dislike you as well; they just want your attention.
Yeah, yeah. It's better. Here's the thing for any trolls who might be watching: just pay us some money. Just use the little dollar sign at the side of the chat, and then pay us some money, and then that's fine.
Trolls pay money to streamers just so they'd read their trolly message. It's bonkers.
Well, at least you're making some money there. It's not quite so bad. You know, at least you can. That's the thing. That now we've got some comments here. There's a good one from Susie. It says, Sparks, I heard you're working on an hour-long intro. Is that correct?
Susie, see, that's a prime example of a troll right there. Right there. Right? See what she's doing there? She's baiting me. She's baiting me. And just for you, Susie, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's quite a thing now.
It might feel long, Susie, but it's only like 9.5 minutes.
It's very good, though. It's the one when you're behind the bar. It looks like you're behind the bar and you're doing different things on your
I'm
intro.
Actually in my bedroom.
Yeah, it's very good. It is. I have to say, I did laugh my head off when I was watching the intro. I thought that's really, really good. It's a great way to keep people and to kind of, you know, keep them lurking, keep them interested.
Yeah, so you get the two camps, right, in the chat. One is like, oh, this is nice. Nice thing to see. And then the other one's going, how long is this going to bloody go on for? It's just like, blimey, the race will be finished by the time we've done it. Bloody hell, Sparks.
Now, Arkies has said, my 12-year-old son had a lurk on my channel recently. And he said, wow, people are being really nice in the comments. And he is right. But you cannot not like Arkies, though. You couldn't say a bad word about Arkies.
I'd be very surprised if Arkies has a single troll that is a real troll.
Should we start trolling him just to annoy him?
I couldn't do it. Yeah,
no. Now, Chicharito has said, who will win the Premier League this season, Sparks?
Bristol Lions.
That's it. I have no idea about football. I have
absolutely no idea. I have no idea. My kids are Man United fans, though.
I had the name in my head of a football team that my friend supports, and then it's gone straight out of my head. So, but they were quite good. I think they were in the Premier League. But there you go.
Tottenham.
Oh, it was Tottenham.
Oh,
he's my old pastor, and he likes Tottenham Hotspur. That you know. Now Chunky's in. Chunky Ribena's in, and says about to start driving, but will Sparks get a haircut?
Yeah. Definitely one day before I drop dead, there will be a haircut on the car. Yeah. And I love that you care so much about my hair, Chunky.
Now we have another question that I missed from the first time. I remember it now, but I did miss it the first time. From Susie, what is your profession / job? Did you study maybe art and design?
Ooh. I am an animator and designer, right? So I technically work for Apple, but it's another offshoot company that is attached to Apple. That's how Apple works. So you don't directly work at Apple, you work here, which is also Apple, right? So I'm like lead animator of a team. There's only six of us in that group. So within the animation team, there's a whole team of like 50, but in the animation team. So I'm lead animator there.
Wow.
As far as studying and university and degrees, no. I left school at 15 and drove coaches for National Express.
Oh, fantastic. A fellow bus driver.
Yeah, I was a bus driver. I was a bus driver for National Express. Did my PCV license, was it, back in the...
Yeah.
It's expired now.
I just done my training last week.
Yeah. And so I did that. I hated that. and then by this time I was like 19 and I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do now. My mum was like, you better get a job because you get a job because you left school. Now get a job. So anyway, I wound up at the Open University as a careers advisor, which is kind of ironic.
Yeah, that's pretty good, though.
Yeah, and then from there, I picked up a book on web design and design and art and just learnt and lied my way into a job.
That's pretty good, though. Yeah. Shows what you can learn and just do it yourself, isn't it? That's pretty good.
It was probably easier back then. I don't know. Maybe. And we had to write CVs on a bit of paper. Didn't use LinkedIn and emails and all that sort of stuff.
I was a bank teller for one of my first proper jobs, and I got asked to leave. So it was they said, hey, you know, yes. You don't fancy a different job, said the bank manager. I worked in the foreign exchange in St. Andrew's Square in Edinburgh. The thing is, it was all before it was computerized. So people would come in asking for dollars or French francs, you know, and all sorts of things in Spanish. Yeah, and you could use a calculator, but you had to put commission. You know, you'd charge your commission, and they had countless different commission accounts for every different currency. And unfortunately, they couldn't read my writing. So when I processed the paperwork, they never had any issue. My father was a GP. That's where I get it from. The thing was, they never had any problems balancing the books. You know, they could balance the cash every night, and it was all fine. And I come along as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old kind of bank clerk, and they could never balance the thing for hours and hours. They were there recounting. And then they realized that they just couldn't read my writing for the commission slips, and that's why it never worked.
This is a problem. Yeah.
So they got
when it comes to just writing numbers. I mean, it's not even letters, it's numbers.
You
can't even write a capital one. Just one.
It's quite a thing. It's quite a thing. But let's get more questions from our chat here so that we can keep everything all going on.
I saw Bembo's comment about the cornering speed in a bus. Pipe it down, boy.
Oh, I go quite fast in a bus. And not so much now because it's a school bus. Although we still get on, we still manage to get there. Here is a question from Bimbo Baggins. Do you work out? Asking for a friend.
Do I work out? Yeah. Yeah, go to the gym twice a week.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
In the jacuzzi. Go to lifting weights.
That's it. The sauna, the steam room,
The
jacuzzi. It's quite nice in there.
Yeah,
and that's good. Yeah,
it's
good
for your hive of bacteria. Just hold your breath.
Now, RK74 has said, actually, stopping at the chicane at Spa, Daytona Watkins to pick up passengers. Oh, of course, yes, because
the bus stop.
The bus stop.
Do you remember Arky's? Is funny.
He is very good. He had a very good thing about our communist cars. He says the Eastern Bloc BOP. He said, which would have been, that was a very, very, very good comeback.
Yeah, that's good.
But, we've got Maxi all the way from Australia.
Maxi, the champion.
He says, who is this geezer you're talking with? It is, of course, Sparks Theory. If you didn't know already, Sparks Theory, you need to make sure you subscribe to his channel. I've got the link in the description there. So if you haven't already subscribed, please do so to Spark Theories. It would be fantastic because his shows are amazing. The streams are great. They are fantastic fun. So you must be pretty young when you got your bus license then, because you're doing
I was 19,
and that was for National Express. You would go up and down the country then.
Youngest coach driver for National Express ever.
Wow.
And I drove from Victoria to Liverpool.
That's a long station trip.
Up to Liverpool three times, and there was like some lovely old dears used to get on the bus, and they're like, where's your dad? I'm the driver. Sit down.
So that was that three times a week then, was it?
Or was that? No, it was only twice a week. I think I did it, but I did it three times. And I just quit.
Exhausting. Oh, you did last time. It's quite long hours, isn't it? Yeah.
And you have to stop. You have to stop every couple of hours for at least, or I think it was 45 minutes, or that tachometer thing would tell you off. Hated it. Not for me. Kudos to you for driving buses, Hugh.
Sheesh. Yes. Well, now I've got quite a nice job of driving the kind of school buses, so it gives me time during the day, and it's I've got a nice Ford Transit as well, quite a new Transit.
Is it not an absolute racket in there, though?
No, they're not too bad. I have them under the very, very kind of tight discipline in my bus.
All right. Okay. Chained up.
Yeah, it's like, they wear their seatbelts. They sort themselves out and they hang on tight. In fact, they even said without me asking, they said I was the fastest bus driver they'd ever had. So that was the one.
I mean, I think that's a compliment.
Yeah.
And then you're like,
Okay.
Subscribe to my channel. You'll see some fast driving.
Yes. Yeah, well, that was it. Yeah, no, that's it. It is quite funny. Now, Chikorito has said, what's your favorite track in the whole world, Sparks, apart from Dragon Trail, Seaside, and Tokyo Express Reverse?
Interlagos.
Yeah. Very interesting.
And Montreal, right?
So Montreal. Yeah, they need Montreal in this, in GT7.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
So Montreal, just from the old F1 games, was always my favorite track, Montreal. So that still is one of my favorite tracks. But for the last 6-7 years, Interlagos.
Now, is it the Senna connections? Is it the Brazilian?
Nothing to do with that, no.
Nope.
No, just a cool damn track.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe the 2008 Lewis Hamilton,
yes,
Formula One victory thing when he went, yeah, past Trulli,
yeah,
the last lap. That was pretty cool. Yeah. It might be that. I don't know. Subconsciously, maybe that is it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I remember when my head, face, my hands over my head on that last lap thing. He's throwing it away. How could it possibly be like that? And on that final corner, is it Junkou, they call it, isn't it, when they come up from the bottom and he got past. Yeah. Truly,
and it was truly doing all this.
It was an incredible. I hope this year it's closer. I really do, because we don't want another kind of Red Bull fest where they just drive away off into the distance.
Yeah. So I mean, Verstappen's won. I don't have any spoilers here, but he's won.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. I know it's kind of. I was wondering about getting it on Now TV for about £20 a month for F1, but I just don't know. I'm kind of wondering if it's worth it or not.
See how you feel about it.
Now, not that quick. Neil has said Zandvoort is a belter of a circuit. Yeah, Zandvoort is good as well.
It's a tricky question, right? It's like, what's your favorite movie? It's like, well, depends what mood I'm in. Honestly, like, I love so many of the tracks. Like, even Silverstone, I love. Brands Hatch, I love. Just what you're in the mood for, right?
Yeah,
Zandvoort's great. And since I've been playing ACC, you get introduced to a lot of the other tracks that they're using as well. You know,
like Mugello. That's great. That's always popular.
Mugello or Mugello? Mugello.
It probably might be Mugello. I'm not sure. The Italians will know if they've got any Italians in the in
Mugello.
The chat. Yeah, that'll be the. That'll be that. Oh, now we've got a funny from. Ziggo with VPN for F1. I was wondering about that, Chunky. Say get a VPN and then you can get it for next to nothing. I might go with that. I don't have to pay Sky, for goodness sake. I'm fed up with Pet all these things. And Mugello.
And with an accent of, like, you know, Mugello.
Dutchy GT has said Special Stage X.
Yeah, that's because Dutchie is a dingus.
You know. and Squeezy E has said, do you go to track to watch racing live?
Brands. I live around the corner from Brands Hatch.
Oh, of course, yeah. Well, Brands Hatch is fantastic. I've never been there live, but I do like
great
it.
Great little place. Because you can hear the cars all over the circuit. Because it's like surrounded by sort of trees and stuff. It's not actually that wide surface area. You can hear the cars around the back.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's
I remember once, my best experience of racing was going to the testing at Jerez back in the late 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
And the first time I went there in 2008, it was only like €10 to get in. And I remember driving along, and you could actually hear the cars from about 2 miles away. You just heard this zip, zip. And then eventually you get closer and closer, and we got out of the car. We're running to get our tickets, and then we go straight in, and you're right at the kind of last chicane before the kind of there's a couple of corners, and then you're on the start finish straight. And the cars were phenomenal. But we got right the way through, went to the back straight, and the first person that came round was Lewis Hamilton in his 2008 McLaren. So that was my first video I ever uploaded to YouTube. Was Hamilton in his McLaren. Yeah. Going down the back seat, but we saw Schumacher as well. That was later. That was in 2011. And I took my wife to the in 2011, and she was saying, "Hope this is not going to be too loud." I said, "No, it's not that loud at all. You'll be fine." And then when we got to the same bit, a mile away, you could hear it. And I said, "Oh, what's that sound?" So it's just bees, very big bees in Spain. You know, it's like so. But that was that. But she did enjoy it. She ended up on Spanish TV. because you got interviewed, because at the time you could get for 13 euros, you could actually get down near the pits and you could sit opposite and they were filming people.
That's
and
damn interviewing cheap, them. Isn't it?
Yeah, it was incredible. Jerez was great and no facilities. I mean, you went
way up the tree.
The loos was where you didn't go in there. It stank. Yeah. Something like
festival style.
But yeah, it was kind of like loos. And then there was a hot dog stand right next to it. And you thought, maybe not. You know,
it's like,
so that was
a hot dog under the smell of urine.
Yeah. It's a thing.
When I was 19, no problem.
Now, there's a very good quote here from Not That Quick. He says, I've crashed at Brands. That must be in the real one, because Neil used to instruct racing drivers. People would come along and they would drive a racing car for the day, and Neil instructed them.
Really? So,
Brands. Yeah. So that's a cracker of one.
What did you crash Not That Quick? What was it? Did you crash on the way to Brands in the car park? Or were you actually on the track? Because you weren't going that quick.
Now, here's the thing. Woody Boy has said, I missed the Rockingham circuit. I remember before it was built.
Yeah, Rockingham is a name I've not heard for a while.
It's been abandoned, seemingly. Yeah. I saw a video the other day saying it's been abandoned. Now, that was Dr. Jonathan Palmer's
own
circuit. And he was, because he was an F1 driver. And it got, I saw there was a video of somebody took a drone in there. Well, there were still a lot of cars round and about the circuit. Obviously for like, so I don't know. I mean, that would be they probably want to build houses on it or something. But I always thought they could do a bit more with that, because they did use it for touring cars, but it never quite had the,
it was a great circuit.
Yeah.
And it was wide, wasn't it? It was really wide.
Because I've been to Daytona in Florida, and not to watch racing, but just when I've been there on holiday and I've done the tour, and that's a fantastic circuit. Daytona's great, and it's you could that time I went, you could actually drive a NASCAR style V8 car for $150. But I thought I might get in, but I won't get out, So I might not. I have to breathe in quite a bit, and I thought, no, it's too claustrophobic for me. I think because there were no doors. But there were people paying the $150, and then they went around and did laps in a NASCAR.
So when was this? What year was this for?
That'd be 2008, right at the time of the financial crash.
Of course.
Everything was dirt cheap. It was pennies. Everything was pennies in there, and you got $2 to the pound as well, which was quite good.
Yeah, those were the days. I were a lad, I know.
It's something else. Now, we've got a thing here. Now, you had a question saying, Sparks, how many subs do you gain on average in a day? Because he says you're absolutely flying lately.
At the moment, I'm waking up with like 150 gain.
Wow.
I know.
That's really good. That's
good. It's a combination of live stream subs post live stream as well. So plenty of subs during live streams, but then after the stream, you get the post views. And that's all because these champions do the likes. I think that makes a difference.
Yeah.
Like, the more likes you shut a stream down with, the more YouTube push that stream out for people to watch post,
after. Mm-hmm.
And some of the older videos as well, like the use your eyes, you're using your eyes wrong.
That's an interesting one, because I was about to watch that. Explain to us how that all came about and what you were trying to get at with the eyes issue.
I used to ride a motorbike. I used to ride a Honda Rebel. And one of the things they teach you when you ride a motorbike is look and ye shall go. Okay? So basically, look where you're damn well going. But it's more than that. Where you look, that's where your bike will be, okay? So, and I'm noticing even on sim racing, I'm not looking. I'm looking at the track. I'm looking at the trees. I know where the road goes. Why do I need to look at the apex? So the point was basically to say, look at the apex and you'll find the apex. It doesn't bloody work for me, but I'm sure it works for some people.
Well, you're very fast, though.
Formula One drivers and racing car drivers focus their vision on exactly where they want to put the car, and then the next bit, and then the next bit after
They're looking so far ahead, isn't it?
Looking ahead. But also focusing on the now as well. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. That's basically it. Yeah. No, that's the thing. That now there are lots of people talking about Rockingham. In fact, Woody Boy was saying he used to live 15 minutes away from a little village called Durrington Benbow.
It's up in Northamptonshire, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Chicharito says he'd like GT7 to add the classic variation of Monza with the bank section.
Yeah, they'll never do that, though. Never do that. I wish they would as well, Chich, but...
They've got it in a Assetto Corsa. I was playing that the other day, but and you can do it in the old Alfa Romeos, the old Alfa... Mm. Oh, was it the Silvias or something? Or the... It wasn't the son of the
banking
original.
Is like something silly.
I mean, eventually they'll bring back Brooklands, you know, at this rate. You know, it'll be driving some old 1920s Bentley that for your hanging on for your life. Yeah. No doubt that'll be a time trial on GT Sport, but you know, it'll be on sports hard tires. That you know, as we always, everything seems to be on sports hard tires. Chunky is saying, it's not a question, but thank you, Sparks, for all the entertainment.
Thank you, Chunky, for all your chunkiness and your entertainment as well. Yeah, Chunky's awesome.
He is very good.
Thanks, Chunky, mate.
Now, so Martin has said, Key will never find any Apex. So,
so Martin's just having a random dig at Key there.
So the next on the show, that'll be it. Yeah. Right, Key's on to about 63,000 subs.
He's up to 63,
Key is
fast, right? He's very, very fast guy. So he has the opposite problem to me, where if he misses an apex, it's quite a big deal. And you get people in the chat like counting how many apexes he's missed on that. He's like, I'm not going to get that because obviously I'm going to miss an apex. Obviously. That's the fun of it. Apex. Ridiculous. So he's putting himself under pressure by being so fast. Slow down, boy.
So in terms of, I'm going to ask the chat here, what would you like to see in the chat for Sparks' channel? What would be the kind of things you think you could add next? More fireworks, more bananas, more kind of funny hairstyles?
Tone it down. just race the car, shut your trap. All right.
That's it. Or new ideas for intros.
Rambo's in Peterborough.
Oh, that's the thing. That was it. But no, that's been the thing. The boost kills the apex.
The boost on the stream definitely wrecks the apex. Because I don't know if you knew, but it's actually a real boost.
That's how I do most of my laps. Especially, when you do the single player. I think there was a family member there.
Love a cup of tea.
Now, Chunky says, can we see a wrestler in the opening season?
Chunky, you're obsessed with wrestling. Yes. Well, can we not do like MMA or something like that? Or UFC? Let's do some UFC. That's way better. Yeah, do some UFC.
Or you could, of course, do Van der Merwin's three tries.
Yeah.
From Saturday.
That was amazing.
That was quite a thing. I have to say, I'm a rugby fan, and I was amazed at that because the first 20 minutes I thought, oh, no, it's going to be awful. But I kept calm.
Hi.
Hello there.
In my pajamas.
You're live on TV. But that's it. Your intros are very, very good. So that's the thing. Arky's has had to leave. No, that's the thing. Oh, I'll quickly catch up with the comments here. They're all saying, careful, she's right behind you. And Hedgex has just arrived.
Hedgex, nice to see you, buddy.
Yes, you've missed a fantastic interview. But we've gone for an hour and 8 minutes. Are we okay to keep going, or
I'm happy to keep going.
That's fine.
I just need to fetch something for my wife.
Okay, dokie.
But it's okay. It's just down here.
All right. So now I've got to keep you going. At the moment, Sparks looks like he's picking up a plate to give to his wife.
Yes.
There you go. I did commentary there.
He's going to have some of those tasty noodles.
A bowl to put and give to your wife then. There you go. And he's just ordered a cup of tea.
Yeah.
There we go. So I'm going to say, do you play the F1 game then? Have you ever played the new F1 game?
I don't play many F1 games at the moment, no.
No. I've got the new one for PS5.
It came out a few years ago that put me right off it. Yeah. I used to love the F1 games.
Yeah, in the late 2000s, they were quite good. In the early 2010s, yeah.
Whatever it was.
It's when they had the good engines.
Championship. I can't remember the name of the damn thing.
When they had good engines, when they had V10s, yeah. V12s, V8s, yeah. All that, it was just a lot more involved.
The game felt better. I don't know.
Yeah. The new one is kind of more. I do quite like the career mode, to be fair, on the most recent ones. Yeah. I think they're actually quite fun. In fact, this year's one is quite good.
Haven't they? Like a movie?
Yeah, it is quite good. And to be fair, F1 2023, the engine sound is quite good, especially when you have it coming through the headphones. It's a big improvement. So it can be, it's a decent, it's actually quite fun. You can have some good races with that. Scotty Senior says, "How did it go?" Yeah, I've not seen Scotty for a while. I hope you're well, Scotty. And he says, "How did it go last Saturday?"
Last Saturday, what happened last Saturday?
Were you doing nations or manufacturers?
No. Last Saturday, I was just being daddy daycare. My wife was in. Yeah, you were at work. Oh no, you were in Cornwall.
No, I was this Saturday.
What are you talking about, Scotty? Come on.
That's the thing. And Chikorito says, "Where can I get the jacket Sparks wearing for free?"
Hit me up with a DM, Chich, mate. We'll talk you about Chich.
It's a very good logo. I do like that logo. I did try and put the logo on the thumbnail, and it's
right on my nipples.
It looks like a Star Trek one, actually. It's like kind of Star Trek stroke Flash Gordon kind of type thing.
And I move it around so you can't really see it.
No, it's pretty good going. That's pretty good. And now Hedgex has said, "What is the best racing game you have ever played?"
Mario Kart.
That's probably a good shout, actually. Yeah. Mario Kart. Think of the fun you had with that. Actually, that is a good shout. But let's be serious, please, for a moment. Gran Turismo 1, because that's the catalyst for it all, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's what kicks it all off. You know, the feeling you used to get firing up the game, the sound of shuffling through the menu, the music, the soundtrack was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Gran Turismo 1, the original.
Yeah, and the kind of the sunsets and the racing, and you'd race into the night, wouldn't you? That's the thing. It'd be 1 or 2 in the morning and you realize, oh my goodness, I've got a call center job at 8 o'clock the next morning.
And it looked phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like for a PlayStation game, PlayStation 1, it looked amazing. You had reflection, or you didn't, but you had like this gleam along the car. You know, it obviously was really pixely, but it was just, it looked so, so good. It blew me away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now all the graphics are almost photo real, and you're like,
that's it. And you can stream in 4K.
Yeah.
That's some of the best stuff, isn't it? That's I've been trying to upgrade my HDMI cables and everything else to try and
stream YouTube. Can you stream YouTube in 4K?
I'm not sure.
You probably can, actually, but I hope your internet's good.
Yeah, I know Key's stream looks really good. I was watching that earlier today, and it's so clear.
1440.
Yeah, no, it looked really good. Now, DRC Woody Boy is saying, "Erase and Rewind Gran Turismo theme still gets me." So good.
Yes, Woody. It's my finger.
Yeah. I remember as well when Top Gear with Jeremy Clarkson, he went to Laguna Seca because he'd been playing it on his PS3.
Yeah, I remember that.
He says, "Can you actually do it in real life?" And he really struggled to get his Honda
NSX. Yeah. Laguna Seca is impossible.
Yeah, it's quite a tricky circuit.
Was he in the Viper?
I thought he was in a Honda. Well, he drove it in the Honda NSX.
Oh yeah.
I think it was an NSX, but that's quite a thing. So if you were going to visit a circuit, then would Interlagos be the one that you would like to?
Yeah, I'd love to go. Visit. So I've been to Spa as well. Mm-hmm. The problem with Spa is we sat. Where did we sit? I can't remember the name, but it was far away from the gate. Okay.
Yeah.
So it was a 45 minute from the gate to where we were sitting. which was just might be an hour walk actually. Just it's a great track, but once the cars are past you, you don't see them for another, you know, however
long. Minutes, so
cars great, like it's, you know, super historic, lovely area, but yeah, Interlagos is where I'd like to go. I'd like to go to Brazil anyway, so.
Yeah. Yes, it's a great.
Chicharito lives in Brazil, so I'd love to see him there.
Paulo. That would be the thing. Well, I went to Donington, and for the only Grand Prix I've ever seen was the 1993 European Grand Prix at Donington, I saw Senna win. I was 18,
Bembo Stavelot.
Stavelot. No, that's a. It was quite a thing. So, did you actually see the F1 Grand Prix at Spa?
Yeah, I did.
I mean,
it was the first year where McLaren just were going backwards. And I think it was Button and Lewis, and they were awful. They were terrible. And it was just boring. That was a big McLaren fan, and Lewis and Button, and it was just, what's the point?
It's quite a thing. I mean, I was in 93, you know, it was V12 Ferraris, V10 Renaults, and V8 Fords. With Senna behind the wheel of that. And the most incredible thing was you could see everything. You know, you could see their necks, you could see the whole, you know, there was not any of the coverings that you have today. And the noise was absolutely amazing. It was proper. We actually saw Schumacher go off into the gravel trap. Well, on that day, he struggled in the Benetton, but it was the most incredible thing. And even when they came around on the warm up lap, it was deafening. You know, it was so loud.
It's amazing, but you can actually hear the grip of the tires on the tarmac.
Yeah,
I don't know what I mean there, but when they're flying past you, you can hear.
Yeah,
I don't know what that sound is, but you can hear the rubber on the tarmac in a straight line. Sticking. I don't know, I can't explain it, but I remember the first time I heard that, and I was like, wow, that thing is stuck to the road. That is phenomenal.
It is the most incredible thing. I just remember when they went past you, and because we were at the old Donington loop, which was the kind of the extra part of the circuit, so they come through, they're going to chicane at the back straight, we were just as they accelerated away, and when they changed gear, their whole head and kind of body moved, because at that time it was still a semi-automatic gearbox, but it wasn't anywhere near as they are today. It's really, really smooth gearboxes.
And they weren't molded to their seat, so they're just rattling around in their cockpit.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose they had their seatbelts tight in, but that was about it. It was quite a thing, and to see Senna win as well was something special. It was incredible. I mean, that lap, because he literally came, as he came round the chicane, he was still in second place, but catching up with Prost, who was in the lead. And then they go out of his sight, come up the hill, and then Senna's in the lead. Yeah. And we're all like, he's in the lead. And he was seventh by the first corner, and he's first by the end of the first lap. It was just incredible. And Senna set the record, the fastest lap ever, at Donington while going through the pits, because at that time they didn't slow down for the pits. They just went straight through, because he'd run out of tyres, and they told him to keep going, so it was an incredible race. And then after that, I remember a touring car race, because after the Grand Prix was done, they had a touring car race. The weather was horrendous, the rain was absolutely lashing down, and they had this most phenomenal touring car race. It was an amazing event. It was great fun. But now Malty 71 was saying he was at Silverstone in 99 when Schumacher crashed. Yeah, I was out for lunch. I went for Sunday lunch that day when that happened. And I remember getting back, and that was a...
Was that when he broke his legs?
Yeah, he broke both his legs, And then it was Eddie Irvine that went for the championship after that.
Mm.
And that was a real one.
He broke both his shins or something, didn't he?
Yeah, it was a big accident. But he came back and beat Irvine in Japan, no issues at all. He just kind of came straight back.
Yeah.
Benbow Baggins said he was in Silverstone. He was at Silverstone in 1997, and it was epic. Now, that would have been Villeneuve, wouldn't it, Jack? Villeneuve was going for he won the title.
Wow, Benbow, mate. Bembo.
That would have been a good one. Good engines, great cars that year as well. Good sounding cars.
The days. Yeah. Oh, the days. There's Freddie. I see Freddie in the chat.
Oh, amateur GT is here. You know, the difference between these two is real. No hair versus a lot of hair.
I've got a filter fix for that, but it's not working. You know,
I don't, you know.
It was natural, my friend.
That was it. Now, Susie Q has said, I read that as Sarah, hang on, I'll put it here. I read that as Sarah walking along Donington, and while doing so, got the fastest lap time. Yeah, no, it was an amazing event, really. It was quite something. It's one of these things that you'll just never forget. It goes with you all your life. You can, and even on the way home, you could still hear the engines in your ears. Yeah. It was still the, it just, I'm didn't not sure go that's away.
A good take, but it's a good, you know, memory for sure.
It was a great memory. As in, you know, it was phenomenal. That, but no, that's been the thing. But well, I'll bring the interview to a close. We've been coming to an hour and 20 minutes of fantastic chat. And poor old,
it's been a pleasure, mate. Max,
I'll be needing a break and some more noodles and that to go along with this.
I've been on the monkey nuts actually.
Very healthy. Very healthy. Nice, that's pretty good going there. Yeah. But and Bembo Bangs is, Senna is the Chuck Norris of F1.
Absolutely, but, mate. Absolutely.
But no, it's been fantastic to have you on the show, Sparks. You've been an absolute pleasure. And it's been great to have everybody watching. And just thank you so much for supporting us today by coming on the show. And if you haven't already subscribed to Sparks channel, please do so. The link is in the description. And it's been great to have you all alongside. Thanks for your questions. It's been really good fun. I've not had a show like this for a long time, and I've just been smiling and laughing the whole way. It's been absolutely brilliant. Stay on the line, Sparks, as we close the show. But of course, we have our famous and our kind of it's our ending line that we have here, and it is, of course, drive fast, but drive your bus even faster. Take care, everyone. We'll see you very soon. Bye just now.